All right, this is indeed Digital Dave.
And Fast Eddie.
And good morning to you from this day one of AirVenture Oshkosh. And we are joined by Mr. Tom Pobrezny, the president of EAA. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Dave. Good morning, Eddie.
Good to have you with us today.
Well, it's good to be here. We've already been open for 35 minutes now. It seems like a lot longer than that.
Tom, it's got to take a tremendous amount of effort and planning to put an event like this together. I'm assuming that you guys start on next year's show right after this show ends?
Next year's show started about a week ago.
About a week ago.
Oh, my.
It's a year-round process, but what it is, it's a real tribute to the volunteers, the members, the participants, because it's a logistical wonder of the world. When you look at all the activities taking place from EA Radio to the campsite to the programs, it really is something to behold. In fact, I'll leave after the convention this week and realize how much I didn't see versus what I did see.
Yeah. One thing I've always been impressed with, unfortunately, neither of us owns an aircraft, so we always drive in. And it's like a well-oiled machine. This is one of the most organized traffic patterns I've ever seen.
You're absolutely correct. The people who handle traffic and parking do an outstanding job.
It is amazing. We roll in at midnight. The staff here at the gate they're friendly, they're educated.
They're awake.
Yeah, they're awake. And they get us in and out in a minimum amount of time. You really have to tip your hat to the volunteers here.
You're absolutely correct in all aspects of the event.
Tom, we do have some serious questions here. The EAA is playing a pivotal role in a lot of aviation questions that are going on right now. And, of course, the big question that's on everybody's mind is right now fuel.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the question of cost and availability. I think the bigger question is availability because there's such a small amount of aviation fuel that's actually refined when you look at the total picture. One of the concerns is that it's going to be economically viable for oil companies to continue to even refine aviation fuel. And so that's the big issue. And then, of course, within that context, the cost. So we're looking at alternative sources of both not only fuel but of propulsion. We have to because we can't continue in this direction.
Well, that brings up two things right away. I know there's a company working on an alternative fuel, and also now electric aircraft are here.
Absolutely. The future is now. When you start to look out 10, 12, 15 years, you can't wait for 5 years to go by before you do that. So this is something that's a top priority that we're looking at. Affordability is the initial priority because that's what we're facing on a daily basis, but availability is one that we've addressed with a number of other organizations and more to come on that.
Well, that certainly has changed the picture. I mean, 10 years ago, if you'd have said the fuel's going to go away, everybody looked at you like you were nuts.
Well, and I want to be careful to qualify. It's not doom and gloom, but the thing is, if you're going to look forward, you have to kind of look at all the different aspects of the potential. If you don't plan now and react, then you can have problems later on.
Yeah, you'll be playing catch-up instead of trying to predict what's going to happen.
Proactive rather than reactive, absolutely.
Well, so that actually really marks a giant turning point for EAA. I mean, before you were a group of guys that built airplanes, and now you're actually driving aviation in so many ways.
Well, there really is, and when you look at AirVenture and what goes on here in terms of innovation, and not only in terms of airframes, but propulsion, as we're just talking about, and many other aspects, and innovation and craftsmanship is the core of the organization, but all aspects of aviation come here to Oshkosh during the week, as evidenced by what we see from up here on the rooftop.
Now, do you feel that the FAA is actually looking to you guys for guidance and leadership, and they realize that you're a wealth of knowledge?
Well, I think that whether it's FAA or the halls of Congress or whatever, they're looking to industry to take a leadership role. And we want a leadership role. We don't want government leading. The government shouldn't be the director. The government should support and provide the fuel to a certain extent to run the engine. We need to build the engine.
Right. Well, that brings up the big 51% ruling that came out. You guys were very, very pivotal in guiding them.
Yes, and we're relatively pleased with what's come out, but we have some issues that we want to address, and that's why the comment period is there, and we'll be talking more about it at the forum. So we recommend that our members are interested in the amateur built regulations, the 51% rule as it's known, to attend those forums, because it'll be important that their voices be heard.
That's great, and we will probably be broadcasting Meet the Administrator forum too, which ought to be very interesting.
That's with that, and we've got the House Aviation Subcommittee here visiting Oshkosh today. They'll be arriving within the hour, and there'll be a forum at 11:30.
We will be broadcasting that live.
And we'll cover that. And we already have big news at Oshkosh this morning that's already occurred.
I haven't heard that. What is it?
I just left a press announcement at Eclipse Aviation, and they announced that Vern Rayburn is stepping down as president and CEO and is replaced by another gentleman. And that's major news within the aviation community. It's business as usual, but because of funding and financing requirements, Vern stepped down, made the announcement about 30 minutes ago. And, He certainly has been a leader in the aviation community, and I'm sure will continue to be in future roles.
I'm hoping he stays involved.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
Because I guess, having just flown commercially, and I'm sure you've flown commercially 100 times more than me, it's just not fun anymore.
No, I tell you what, general aviation is the way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether it's your home-built or your vintage airplane or whatever the case may be, or the Ford that we just are watching land on the runways.
There you go. And I'll take the KC-135.
Okay.
Got more room.
I'm hoping for a backseat ride in a Hornet here, so I'm groveling for rides. But, you know, we talked about the 51% rule, and part of the discussion on that has to do with the builder assistance centers. And what the FAA has addressed this, and everybody's kind of raising eyebrows looking at this and trying to avoid professionals building an airplane and having somebody pawn it off as what they have built.
Well, right. I think that's the distinction.
You have to understand the fact is that the way the regulations were established and the way we've lived under for five decades and been successful is that you, the builder, whether it's Fast Eddie or Digital Dave, have to build 51% of the airplane. That doesn't mean you can't receive assistance in some areas, just so that assistance between what's the kit's evaluated. If the kit is evaluated at a 35% kit, then you have a little margin. If it's a 49% kit, you don't have a lot of margin.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, you as the builder need to be aware of the regulations and how to apply them so that you don't step over the boundary, because ultimately you could pay the price for that. What we have to stay away from is abuse where it's professionally built and somebody else puts their name on it.
Right.
And right, where you turn over a check and you get something back.
Exactly.
And that's the only effort.
Exactly.
So in that, a builder assistance center where they go and they provide jigs, tools, and a little bit of guidance, and I do the work, that is still okay.
In concept, you know, again, you have to evaluate each situation because there's a lot of tactical details that go with that. But conceptually, it's not a situation where you can't get assistance, but it has to be within the parameters of 51% that you build the airplane. And it's not a matter of just getting your picture taken in front of the airplane saying, I'm doing a task. It's evaluating the task and so forth. So we're here to help in terms of educating people to understand, and one shoe doesn't fit all.
So there will be some initial turmoil, I'm sure.
Well, you know, this is an issue we've been addressing for decades.
Yeah.
It's not a new issue. It's one to where you constantly have to be careful that there's a point in time where if you step over the boundaries, you have to kind of retract back, and we have to be sure not to retract back too far the other direction. And I'm confident that it will all be resolved in a manner that ensures that the home build movement will be vibrant and strong and grow.
I think a lot of another outgrowth of this thing, like you look at a company like Vans, and by taking some more of the processes and keeping them in the factory, they're improving the overall quality of the kit.
Absolutely.
And hopefully making a safer airplane.
Absolutely. You know, there's a number of forces moving here in terms of safety, efficiency in terms of construction, design innovation, and the ability to allow the builder to build a majority of the airplane. And there's a lot of factors that go into it. It would be difficult to describe them all now, but we have the educational materials, we have the information, and all members have to do is contact EA, and we'll help them walk through this in a way that it becomes an enjoyable and quote, great experience in terms of building an airplane. Like anything, there's always two sides to an issue in terms of how people address it. And what we have to do is, in minimal cases where there has been abuse of the rule, we need to mitigate that abuse so that the majority can still maintain the privilege.
Well, that's fantastic. You're right there today. I mean, I'm very impressed.
Well, like I said, you know, the convention is now 44 and a half minutes old.
So you're on.
as you know from the last few days, it really started weeks ago in terms of people arriving. And you look at up here, we look at the flight line, it's a sea of airplanes. Right now we're in the midst of all the home builds, but the Warbird area is getting full, the vintage area.
Well, we had
People were worried, you know, about the economy and fuel prices. Was it going to hurt the attendance? Well, I think what you see out the window speaks for itself.
That I was just noting that, too. We were talking with Steve Voos about that. The airplanes, or Dick Nepinski, I mean, the airplanes have not changed the number. He said, in fact, they've actually expanded camping areas and filled them already.
Well, it demonstrates that the passion for flying exceeds some of the other things, and people go to great lengths to participate. I'd like to welcome everybody to Oshkosh and enjoy EA Radio and the event, and it's going to be a great week. And hopefully, we're starting to plan for next year. We'll have some announcements at the end of the week, and hopefully AEA Radio will carry those announcements to tell people to start planning for AirVenture 2009.
We will, sir. Thank you for joining us.
Okay, David, it's a pleasure being with you.
All right, this is Digital Dave. It's 8:43.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and you're listening to EAA Radio.